Welcome to episode 40 of the What If South Is Up podcast, where we explore the twists of fantasy and sci-fi with our What If lens, delving into and debating fictional worlds. We blend wisdom and whimsy to spark your creativity. Get ready to reimagine and enlighten as we journey from what if to what's possible. My name is Christina Eckstein Lefebvre, and I'm in the middle of building my first world, a magical parallel earth where colonization never happened in the Americas, and still reworking that first novel with the working title of Cogs and Claws. And with me is my partner, well, my podcast partner. Don't get any ideas out there, you guys. My ride or die, ride or friend, Mr. Derek Hall.
Hello, hello. I am Derek Hall, creator of the Crimson Prophecy series, and I am tired, but also just kind of glad to be here.
Yay. Yay.
It's been one of those weekends.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. But before we dive into today's adventure and see which what if question Chance brings up, what are you drinking today, Christina?
Cherry vanilla martini. Yum. What about you?
I have a strawberryta.
Strawberryta?
It's a canned malt beverage margarita wannabe. And it's not great.
Is it good?
It's decent. It's decent. It reminds me of like a Mike's Hard.
Ah, okay.
It's not great.
Not great.
Not great.
So you said you're having a tough weekend. What's going on?
Oh, it's just been busy and lots of things going on. Yeah, lots of hoops to jump through, trying to balance everything between paychecks and all that wonderfulness, trying to get a little bit of writing done, trying to salvage my sanity before I go back to work on Monday. You know how it is.
Adulting.
Yeah, adulting. That sums it up nicely. Kids don't know how good they have it.
They do not understand how good they have it. No. Nor did I when I was a kid.
Yeah, me neither. That's okay.
Okay. Well, since our last episode, what's been going on in your writing world? What's new? Any breakthroughs, fresh storytelling stories or tricks, or what's going on?
The only thing I have to report is that writing is damn hard work, and if you're in it for easy money, you're in the wrong business.
Abso-friggin-lutely. Yep.
Otherwise, I haven't really made progress on much of anything. I've been a little too busy to sit down and actually write this week. So, yeah, baby steps. I've got some notes that I wrote down and that sort of thing, but no real actual progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Let's see. I suck at finishing things.
Fair.
And B, it might actually be okay that it's taken me, what, a quarter of a score of years to get where I am. I have to be okay with that. And I'm happy that I actually wrote some words since our last episode. So,
yay.
So I wrote those words and, I threw it into ChatGPT, and it helped me to realize that even still, the 37th revision of my opening scene, I still haven't nailed it. So,
I'm going to be honest. There is no such thing as nailing it. You will always, no matter how many revisions, find something to fix or change.
Granted, but everyone's always told me that I need to somehow put into that first, you know, opening scene, somehow I need to put in what the stakes are, you know, why am I reading this book? And I still haven't been able to deliver that. So, I mean, I'll keep writing and I'll eventually get back to it and maybe figure out how I do that. But
yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Especially with the first book, you kind of do need those stakes. Mm-hmm. Moving deeper in a series, not so much, but.
Right. And, you know, your first book was really good because the stakes are pretty easy to show, explain, you know. But in my world where everyone has a magical ability, how do I show that it's painful not to have one until I show that everyone has one?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's a lot of world building to do very quickly. So yeah. I've got things to work out. So yeah. I mean, if I open the story and say, hey, this is Aniksha and she can't do magic, everyone's going to go, okay, neither can I. So,
right.
So I got to show why it's such a big deal with her. And at the same time, I've got to figure out how to show what her goal is. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the Disney movie, what was the one with the boy that wanted to be a musician, the Mexican
Coco.
Coco. You knew instantly that he wanted to play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And that traveled through the whole, that was the little engine that pulled you through the whole story, through the whole film. It was lovely.
And that is a fantastic yet often underrated movie.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's a good one. Well, progress is progress, even if it's backwards progress.
Yeah. At least I know that I suck. You know.
Hey, admitting you have a problem is the first step.
Exactly. So,
but as writers, it is crucial to keep our craft sharp by diving into stories, be it through reading, watching, or listening. So what interesting stories have you consumed, Christina?
I finished up Resident Alien with hubby. What that series does is better than anything is the characterizations.
Mm-hmm.
Every character in that show is different and unique, and you know who they are. So that was wonderful. And I'm watching, I think I mentioned this the last time, a show called Bull. It's on Paramount Plus. It's about trial science. And I think what's got me kind of hooked on it is just watching how the psychology of it all, you know, the psychology behind choosing the right jury.
Yep.
And I'm also thinking of just stopping that and starting to watch that a Zorro series. I think it was filmed in Latin America. And it's spoken in Spanish, and just to help me continue learning more Spanish. But that's what I got going on, and rewatching it because it was a good story. So what about you? What you got going on?
Well, I'm still working my way through the Witcher books, and they're absolutely fantastic. Even if occasionally it becomes very obvious that they are a translation. Because they were originally written in Czech or Russian or something like that, and then translated into English. So every now and then you'll have, like, instead of green grass, it'll be grass green or some kind of, like, translational syntax error.
Yep.
And it just takes a second. And right. Different language. Yep. Cool. Got it. No problem. And it's not a problem with the story. It's just a language barrier. But those are actually really good. I'm having a lot of fun with them. And I just finished up my rewatch of the big three Star Wars TV shows with the kiddo, which would be Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka.
Uh-huh.
And those are always good. And watching them all back to back is actually really interesting because they all tie together, and that's fun.
Interesting. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like the Book of Boba Fett takes place between season 2 and 3 of Mandalorian.
Huh.
And Ahsoka takes place after season 3 of Mandalorian, but it's still like it ties into Rebels, obviously, but it also ties into Mandalorian with like little references and things like that. And it ties into Clone Wars, obviously, because Ahsoka. But yeah, it's just it does some really fun stuff when you like watch it all really quick together. You notice all the little details.
The next time I go to watch those, I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's fun. And I just finished the new Amazon Prime Fallout TV show, which is a fantastic example of how to adapt a game into a movie or show. 8 out of 10. Watch it, even if you know nothing about Fallout. It's really good.
So my husband is watching that, and one of my girlfriends suggested it to me, so it's on my list.
It's really good. It's really good. I got mad when the season ended because I wanted more.
Oh.
But they also tease some like fan favorite stuff right at the end. And it's just like, oh, I see where they're going with this. And yeah, it was really good. Definitely not for kids. Don't have the kids around if you're watching that, but it is really good.
Well, yeah, the few times I walked in with my husband when he's watching it, I'm like, don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard the story's real good. So there you go. Okay. It's Dead Darlings time. When we each share a single sentence from our drafts, no backstory, just the words. These lines may shine or they could be facing the delete key. But we're happy to share our wordsmithing woes and wins with our fellow writers. So, Derek, what you got for our listeners today?
Let's just say I know how the forest feels after an avalanche.
Okay. Do avalanches happen in the forest?
They will end up in the forest. Have you never seen like what happens to a forest after an avalanche comes through, or when an avalanche comes through?
Nope.
There is no more forest. Oh. You have instead millions of matchsticks. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Beat to a pulp.
Wow. Yep. There you go.
I'll have to find you a video. It's fascinating. And you can actually look at the mountains like typically in the summertime when there's less snow, you can look at the mountains and see where the avalanches have been.
I never cared to look.
Yeah, all right. Well, I have to be aware of it. I live in the mountains.
So do I, which is really odd.
Different mountains.
Oh, I can see Mount Washington from here, which is the coldest spot in the United States. So, I can see the observatory from the street outside my house.
Hmm. Well, that's cool.
So, yeah. So, okay. Mine.
Yeah. What do you got?
Nietzsche pointed to his steam turtle, a vehicle powered by steam and just as slow. Well, compared to Uncle's clack horses, that is.
There you go.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Feels mildly redundant, but
Well, it's probably it needs to be reworked. I mean, I'm sitting.
Needs to be massaged.
Out, yes.
Little bit of a massage.
Yes.
Okay. On to the point of the show and our favorite game. Each week, we roll a d20, which helps us randomly choose from our perpetual list of 20 scenarios, and then we talk about how it would affect our worlds. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. All right. What do we got? 19. What if the moon in your world had a profound influence on the magic, causing fluctuations in power and abilities during lunar phases?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do we assume that it's always been that way, or is this like a new thing that's just started happening and people have to deal with how things are changing?
Either or, I would say it's always been a thing, because the moon, if there is one, I would just assume has always been a thing.
If there is one. You know, we just had the big eclipse thing, right? Mm-hmm. And did you know that out of all the planets we've discovered, all the solar systems out there, we're the only planet that could actually have a full eclipse?
Interesting.
And that's because of how big the moon is, how far away it is from the sun, and the ratio of it. It's a perfect ratio that blocks out the sun. But nowhere else has it been discovered, or the planet would have to have a moon that was exactly that ratio and distance between it and the sun and the size of the moon and the planet.
I never thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So say if the world has a moon, I mean, our moon affects us because it pulls on the earth, which, you know, pulls on the water,
mm-hmm.
which affects life in many profound ways. I'm also apt to believe that the moon has influences on humans to some extent in some way that we're not aware of quite yet because we don't know how to measure it. But no. What if it affected? So mine's easy. My world, it's just a parallel Earth. So they have our moon.
Yeah. So but how does that affect the magic?
Understood. How does your world have a moon?
Yes.
Okay. Have you talked about the moon in your world?
Not really, no. I think I've mentioned it, you know, things like, you know, moonlight or full moon or stuff like that. But I don't think I've ever really dug into it. But this question does immediately send my mind to the Airbender world.
Which
like so many things.
Yes.
Because the there's four different nations. They all have a different kind of bending. It's elemental based: earth, air, water, and fire. Fire bending is tied to the sun. Water bending is tied to the moon. They actually learned how to waterbend by watching the moon move the tides. So it's a very close tie there and a ridiculously deep lore that even gets into the point where their bending is more powerful during a full moon and they can only do certain techniques during a full moon. I'm not going to spoil anything. If you know, you know. But Ixtina does not, so we'll be nice. But yeah, it's a really deep bit of world building, and I don't really have anything quite that deep tied to the moon. I don't think I have anything tied to the moon, necessarily. But it's an interesting concept.
So, in my world, the magic is elemental-based, but not specifically tied to any planets like you're describing for Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
But also in my world, they, for them, sun and moon, mountains, they're alive. They're living beings.
Oh, yes.
As a matter of fact, in my stories, sun is capitalized because it's a being, it's a thing, right? It's not a thing. It's a being. It's,
mm-hmm.
It is just as much a person to them as their uncle. So, the question is, what if the moon had a profound influence on the magic? Well, it would totally change my magic because my magic's got lots of rules and I've already figured it all out, but
mm-hmm.
It would be, wow, it would just really change a lot of ceremonies. How can I make this interesting? I mean, I like the idea of a society that is more moon worshiping or idolatry than sun. That's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they... they live through the night. Well, then we get into a vampire story, but I don't think it would change much for my story, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't know that it would change a whole lot. My source of magic, according to legend, I haven't decided if it's actually true or not yet, but according to legend, fell from the sky. So there was no magic until this thing fell from the sky. And that that could tie into the moon somehow. It could be a piece of the moon. It could be, you know, it could be any number of things. But I don't really have anything directly tied to the moon. I'm getting ideas as I sit here about cool, like, fantasy moon stories, but none of them are actually written.
Okay, so let's talk. Let's explore that for a second. So, if you were to write a story, you're going to start out today, New mm-hmm. World, mm-hmm. and you're going to base it off of moon being the magical force, the magical gasoline. Okay.
Okay.
How would that play out in your mind about how would that world start to look? I mean, I was saying they would be more into living at night so they could see the moon, right? So not that they would hate the daytime, but
well, I think the general schedule would shift. I think instead of getting up at sunrise and going to bed at sunset, like most people do because daylight.
Because they need to grow vegetables.
Yeah, it would kind of reverse and be like, get up at a little bit before sunset at like dusk or whatever and go to bed in the morning. Kind of like working an overnight shift. You just move your sleep patterns and your schedules. I think that would be at least for a portion of the population, maybe the real religious fundamentalists in the group who worship the moon or whatever, instead of just being like, oh yeah, that's a thing that's kind of important. Maybe they're the ones that do the overnight thing. But you could take that a bunch of different ways, but I see it being almost a reverse of like a normal society. More focused around the night, the dark, the moon, the stars, and that would also affect how the industry worked, the agriculture works. Like, what do those people do? Well, you're not going to be a farmer at midnight. So maybe you're running livestock instead. Maybe you're dealing with greenhouses instead of being actually out in the sun or that sort of thing. So there's a lot of things that could happen there, and I'm just spitballing and it might not make sense, but yeah.
So one of the things this question assumes is there's only one moon in this world, but what if you had a world that was so far away from the sun that they needed the moons, you know, for that solar energy to reflect it back? Mm-hmm. So daylight, bright daylight's never really a thing.
That's valid too. Or you have a an axis locked planet that orbits but doesn't rotate, and then you have half a planet in the sun and half a planet in the dark all the time, and maybe they're using the moon to get their only light beyond like that twilight zone right on the horizon between the two.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And in this story that we're making up, does everyone have magical abilities, or are we still limiting it like in your world to a few?
I don't know. This was your idea.
No, actually, this question came from ChatGPT.
Oh, thanks for that. Frickin' AI. No, well, so I don't know. It would depend on how you want to do it. Do you want some people to be more powerful and more special, more important than others? Or do you want an equal or relatively equal society? It depends on what you want.
Well, I know what I
want to throw a kink in the works. You could have a select few, but also want a equal society, and yeah, now you can have all kinds of political fun.
I'm also thinking of a story maybe where they have, you know, moons, they worship the moons, they understand the moons, blah, blah, blah. feeds their magic, and suddenly a moon falls out of orbit and leaves.
Maybe it wasn't a moon. Maybe it was a space station.
There you go.
That's no moon.
But now how would that world adapt to having one less moon? And everybody whose magic was drawn from that moon suddenly has no magic. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, my my gut instinct is that different forms of magic are fueled by different celestial bodies. Like fire is going to be summoned from the sun, and light is summoned from the moon, and things like that. But everything's fine and dandy for however many thousands of years until they suddenly realize, hey, the sun's not as bright as it used to be, or the moon's not as bright as it used to be, and discover that that magic they've been using willy-nilly for so long to light candles and, you know, light their house after dark every night is a finite resource and it's running out.
I like that.
Yeah, that's where my brain went.
Yeah, my brain went to there was multiple moons, and depending upon when you were born or where you were born or something like that, a moon gave you a power, and one of the moons got destroyed by an asteroid. And so now there's a whole swath of people that no longer have an ability.
And a whole swath of planet with giant chunks of moon in it. sorry.
I would make that not happen.
No.
That's the way the script will read. But now how do these people, what do we do with all these people that no longer have magic, you know?
Yeah.
And how do people get treated, and how quickly do they become pariahs or whatever? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair.
Something that they have no control over, now suddenly they have no resources, no way to make earn a living, no way to help give back to society, and they have to learn how to do all this without magic.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I could see that being really interesting with at least one of the POVs being some sort of like ruler or political leader trying to figure it out from that end.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I feel like that would be interesting.
You do like more politics in your stories than I do.
I don't, though. I hate politics, but...
You hate politics in real life.
I hate politics in general, but I can see the value that it can add to a story.
Right. And you're I mean, you have political battles in your stories.
True. True. I do. Not by choice.
Your brain works like that. As much as you hate it, your brain works like
that. I know. I know. I blame my brother.
blame your brother. We should all blame our brothers. And if you don't have a brother, you can borrow mine.
Fair enough. But yeah, I think it doesn't necessarily apply to the active world that I'm working on, but it definitely gave me some ideas. So maybe later. I'll mark it down.
I agreed. And I'm going to ask all the readers, the listeners out there, What thoughts came up as you were listening to this? I mean, either for your world or other stories, how did this get your juices going? We'd love to hear back from you guys on how this makes you consider or reconsider your stories or consider new stories. But yeah, I'd love to see how this made your wheels turn, because it really got mine thinking. It got me thinking. It got Derek thinking. I was also easy. I was also able to say, you know, this doesn't really apply to my world because I know my world so well. But,
right.
But I like how this, this is how we build worlds, people. We have these ideas and we work through them. And we add and we subtract until we get where we want, or at least something that sounds good.
It's like mixing colors as an artist.
You
take a little bit of everything and put it together and get something different.
Yep.
And if you know what you're going for, you know better what to pull from. But it's still, it's still an art more than a science. You can't just go, oh, I need this much of this and this much of this. And, you know, I need one part Star Wars, two parts Lord of the Rings. Yeah, it's not going to work that way. It's going to get adjusted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
it's not a perfect analogy, but.
Nope. And I like how these podcasts that we do make me really think.
Yeah.
Outside the box, within the box I've built, you know.
Right. Thinking outside of a box that you've built is surprisingly more difficult than thinking outside of someone else's box.
Absolutely.
It's really hard.
I can't break that rule that I made willy-nilly with no considerations for anything else.
But at the same time, you made the rule. Exactly. So you can change the rule.
But then I have to go back and I have to change these 16 other things.
Right, because all the rules stack on top of each other. And
yes.
If you pull one out from the bottom of the stack, everything else collapses.
So you, right, but sometimes you have to do that.
Creative Jenga.
Creative Jenga. Boy, look at you with all the analogies today. Good job.
I'm in a mood, apparently. But
apparently.
Yep. All right. Anything else to add to that?
I don't think so.
I don't either. You're yellow.
Oh. Okay. Well, that was fun.
It was.
It was. If you're a world builder, crafting your first universe, or a seasoned creator, and this includes the D&D game masters, writers, authors, or any imaginative soul spinning new realms, we'll be thrilled to have you join our podcast. Drop us a line through whatifsouthisup.com or send a message via our Facebook page. Your world could be the star of our next show.
And remember, our list is always hungry for new what-if scenarios. Have a unique twist you want to explore? We're all ears. Send us your what-if ideas and we will showcase them to the real world. Visit our Facebook page or send us an email at whysouthisup@gmail.com. So, Xtina, how can folks find you on the interwebs?
My website is uniquelyxtina.com, and I can be found on many of the socials as uniquelyxtina. And I'm on TikTok, so TikTok's not.
Sooner rather than later, the way things are going.
And what about you, Mr. Derek?
My website is derekhallauthor.com. You can also find me as D Hall Author on Facebook, the quickly diminishing clock app, or just about anywhere else.
Well, there you go. Thank you, everyone.
Yay.
Yay. Did another one. We did it again.
We did it again. Oops, I did it again. I made a podcast.
We did it.
Yay.
Got it.